We do our Bible study, come back and pray at the end. I ask you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel in chapter number 15. 2 Samuel and chapter number 15. Have you ever been betrayed unexpectedly by maybe a family member or a close friend? Betrayal can take on many forms, can't it? It might be as simple as having shared something with somebody in confidence, and before you know it, it's blabbed all over the place in the worst possible way, and you find out about it at the worst possible time. When we're betrayed, it can leave us with a bad taste. It can leave us with an uneasiness in our soul. And it can cause us to have trust issues from that point forward. And we can be less likely to trust others after our having been betrayed. And so it can affect our lives, can't it? When somebody betrays us, it can sometimes have devastating and far-reaching consequences. I read a story about a missionary in China, and this missionary, she rode the bus every day with people. She was very friendly, open with her faith, and dearly loved the Chinese people. She was trying to obey the oppressive laws that the Chinese had imposed, and she wouldn't pass out Bibles indiscriminately, but always would give one to someone who asked her, usually after she got to know them a little bit. Someone befriended her on the bus and asked for a Bible. She gave them one, and that person immediately went to the authorities and betrayed her. And she and her family were deported from China, and her ministry in China was over in a moment just because of a betrayal. So it can have devastating consequences in our lives when we're betrayed. We see tonight Absalom's betrayal of his dad. Now, we've been looking at the beginning of it as Absalom started by betraying his father, by stealing what belonged to his father, stealing the hearts of the men of Israel. For our last two studies in this chapter, we've seen how Absalom began this path of betrayal against his father, King David. We've also seen how Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel by first changing their focus through his tactics of getting them distracted, through deceiving them, and through discouraging them. And this further led to him challenging folks' faith in his father as king, although King David had been a good king in the past and possessed the promises of God's blessing in the future. Now tonight we want to pick up in verse number 6, and then actually we'll be really be beginning in verse 7. We'll read verse 6. And then let's just read through verse 9 here. It says in verse 6, "And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said unto the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Geshur in Syria, saying, If the Lord shall bring me again indeed to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said unto him, Go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron." Now, Absalom, we see here, betrayed his father by lying to his father. Absalom had this ingenious plan that he was about to put into action. But in order to put it into action, it required that he go to Hebron. So he told his father that he needed to go and pay a religious vow that he had made to the Lord, which was a bold-faced lie. He had done no such thing. Don't you just love it when folks pull the Lord in on their wickedness? You ever had somebody quote the Bible to you when they were trying to be wicked? It happens all the time. We see here that he betrayed his father here under the guise of doing something for the Lord, which he had no intention of doing. There had been no vow, And this was all in Absalom's bold plan to snatch the kingdom away from his father. Of course, he had a good idea that his father would allow him to do it. He knew his father. And so he concocted this story about the supposed vow that he made to the Lord. And he was right. His father did let him go under the guise of paying this vow, fulfilling this vow that he made to the Lord. I mean, what kind of dad would David be to say, no, you can't go fulfill your vow to the Lord? So he played David's faithfulness to God against him. Has anyone ever used your faith in the Lord to their advantage against you? That's pretty low, isn't it? Certainly doesn't please the Lord. You know, I think the Lord gets weary sometimes the way people use the Word of God, use Him to advance their agendas. It has nothing really to do with Him. There's no doubt that Absalom had been schooled in the ways of the Lord. Dear old dad might have controlled his schooling, but he couldn't control his heart. And his dad may have believed in all that honoring Jehovah stuff, but not Absalom. Absalom didn't believe that way. He was his own man, and he was planning on doing his own thing. He would show his dad who was in control, who was in control of his life. It's not some Jehovah God, not his dad, not anybody else but him. What we see here is that Absalom had a heart problem. A heart problem. Not the heart that beat in his chest, but the one that was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The one that only God knew. We see there in verse number 10, we see Absalom betrays his father by conspiring against his father. Look at verse 10 through 12. It says, but Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as ye hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. And they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Now we see here that Absalom betrayed his father by conspiring against him. Absalom had worked long and hard to win over the hearts of the men of Israel. And now we see here that he had some spies, according to verse 10, sent throughout all the tribes, the 12 tribes there of Israel, to help him carry out the final stages of his betrayal. And these spies, they were in the know. They were in on this, and they were to, as soon as the sound was made, say, hey, Absalom is the one who reigns, and he reigns in Hebron. We see in verse 11 that Absalom had 200 men that left with him to go to Hebron on this journey. And it says that they were called, but no doubt Absalom had handpicked these 200 to go with him. I don't know how David looked at that, but that had to seem fishy. If you're going to pay a vow to the Lord, why do you need 200 guys to go with you? And Absalom had in mind what he and his spies were doing, but it says that these 200 men went in their simplicity and they knew not anything. In other words, these particular 200 men were not in on the conspiracy of what was going on. Absalom could have chosen these for the purpose of keeping his father from ordering them to do something whenever the conspiracy was fulfilled. These probably were the 200 that were loyal to David. We don't know. We're not told. You ever been an unwilling participant of somebody else's betrayal, only to find out too late that you've been hoodwinked? I'm sure that's how these 200 guys felt. There in verse 12, we learn that the conspiracy was strong. This unlawful alliance that was formed by Absalom against his father. Now, the scripture indicates here that those siding with Absalom were constantly increasing in number. Which, consequently, if that was happening, that means the ones that were siding with David were going down. That's just simple economics, right? You know. But we see that it went a step further. There in verse number 12, we see that Absalom also betrayed his father by turning his private counselor against his father. His private counselor. There in verse 12 it says, "And Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite." Remember that name? It says he's David's counselor from his city, even from Gilo, while he's offered sacrifices. See here that the scripture says that Absalom sent for him. Up to this time, he had been David's private counselor. Remember how we've seen that David in the past had consulted with Ahithophel several times and gotten good counsel from him. Look at what 2 Samuel 16, the next chapter, in verse 23, what it says about Ahithophel. It says, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both to David and with Absalom." He was a trusted counselor. But we see now he switched sides. This wise and trusted counselor was found unfaithful because he also thought of himself from this point forward. He jumped on the Absalom bandwagon. We see here yet another betrayal, betrayed by his counselor. Now, we don't know if Ahithophel was threatened by Absalom, we're not told, or bribed by Absalom, or maybe he was offered a new position in the new government. It doesn't speak to what got him to go to the other side. Or if he just went there all of his own accord. But it doesn't really matter. This one who had been faithful to David in the past proved unfaithful in the end. I imagine the betrayal of his son hurt. But I think also this betrayal of this close counselor hurt him. Even deeper. Can you feel David's heart? His heart was after his son, and his heart was after his friend. In fact, it's believed that David was speaking of Ahithophel when he penned the words of Psalm 55. Look at Psalm 55. And pay close attention to verses 12 through 14. Psalm 55, verse number 12. He says here, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company." Sad, isn't it? We see in verse 13 now, back in our text, 2 Samuel 15. Notice verse 13. It says, "And there came a messenger to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." Okay. Absalom's gone away. He's taken these 200 with him. He's put his plan into effect. Ahithophel's gone to the other side. And the first that David hears of it, I'm sure it's not the first that he suspected of it. The first he hears of it there in verse 13. This messenger came and told David of what no doubt David had to have sensed, but didn't want to admit. You know, you ever sensed something was going wrong and you didn't want to admit it was wrong, and then all of a sudden, boom, you were proved that your suspicions were right. David doesn't seem surprised here, but we're going to see that he reacts by going on the run. I mean, Absalom has been a successful recruiter of men, or shall we say he's a successful stealer of men. He had stolen the hearts of the men of Israel. The hearts of the men of Israel were said right there in that verse to be after Absalom. The word after there means to in pursuit of, moving behind, following. In other words, Absalom's plan of betrayal, at least for the moment, had been successful. Now, what would David do in response? Next week, Lord willing, we're going to see David's response. Understand that what happens to us is not so nearly as important as how we react to what happens to us. Right? You know, we can't control what people do, but we can control how our reaction is to others. You ever been in a similar situation as we see David here, hurt by betrayal? Only the Lord can help us heal from such a wound and get beyond it. A lot of times the temptation is there to be bitter. But bitterness only hurts us. Look to the Lord for His guidance, His grace. And look to Him to give you the ability to forgive the betrayer and not allow a root of bitterness to spring up in your soul. Let me call your attention to one last passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter number 12. I think comes into play here. Cautions us in our reaction. Hebrews 12, verse number 14, tells us we're to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Then verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I think the key to this is the grace of God. How do you get beyond a betrayal? Only by God's grace. Amen. God's grace can help us to move beyond it. God's grace can help us to keep the root of bitterness from springing up in our souls. All right. That's our Bible study for tonight. We'll pray for the needs on our prayer list. And you'll get the night off. How about that?